excuse me. Hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. It's Phil Parr and along with Don Patterson.
To a majority of two.
We're about it, aren't we? Let's see. Did we get anything here? Hello?
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Who is this?
Well, who do you expect, Ray Price?
Thomas, how are you?
What's going on?
Well, you sound a lot better today than you did last week, son.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
Because last week I thought it may be the end of the road.
Yeah, it looked like it might have been, huh? But you've made an amazing recovery, I see.
Yes, sir. I seem to be coming around. They're going to do a little procedure here in 2 or 3 weeks. But other than that, I'm in good shape.
Well, that's good to know. I'm happy to know that. The train's coming by, isn't it? You out in the front yard?
No, sir. No, it's kind of wet out here.
It's raining a little bit, isn't it? Just a little. So they're gonna do a pacemaker, they think, eventually with you.
It's a pacemaker defibrillator.
Pacemaker defibrillator. That's that thing that shocks the hell out of you if you aren't good.
Yeah. A pacemaker primarily is used for slow heart rate.
Uh huh.
But now, I have a fast heart rate, so if it gets out of hand, if it gets up to a certain speed, it would shock me back to a lower speed.
It would pop you pretty hard, huh?
Yeah, they claim they can pop the heck out of you. I don't know. They've made improvements on it. I've got a niece up in Birmingham that's married to my Jackie's second son.
Mm-hmm.
That is head of the pacemaker defibrillator department at St. Vincent's Hospital in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, we could be there in a half day. You want to go?
No, she's sending me all the information she can gather on this particular thing and the procedure and everything.
Thomas, I think you ought to buy Cleta May a stun gun and let her pop you.
I'm afraid I'd get popped more than I needed popped.
Yeah, in other words, especially if it was her discretion, huh?
Right.
So when is all this going to happen?
Well, I'm due to go back to see Dr. Cavalli, my main heart doctor.
Yeah.
Within 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
And when I go back to see him, I will see this other doctor who's in charge of this arrhythmia thing. And a real good doctor, as a matter of fact. I like him. And he's the one that's talking to pacemaker defibrillator.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we won't see you next week then, will we?
No, you probably won't see me for a few weeks, but hopefully after that I can get going.
Hopefully so. We're working on the deal with the van, the ride. Pat knows and Emily both know a little bit about that, and so we're working on maybe getting that going for you.
Well, you mean as far as a van picking me up at my house?
Yeah, that's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but they won't come out in the car.
Well, we don't
know. That's real strange because when I rode them several years ago, the bus driver that I rode with, every Tuesday or something, she would say, her name was Gail, and she took me to school and picked me up every day for 2 years. And she said, well, I got to go to Zavala and get my, they drove all the way down to Zavala if somebody scheduled it, anywhere in the county.
Yeah.
Now, did you call an 800 number?
I did once or twice. Yes. I did, yes.
Because that's in San Antonio. Well, I'll get to the bottom of it. Maybe
we'll
rules.
Some checking out. Maybe we can work that out.
Oh, man, that'd be neat.
Well, let's don't give up.
Oh, I'm not giving up.
Don't keep
you
hope.
Really sound good.
You
today.
Sound so
Thomas
much better today.
Great.
Well,
my voice is stronger today.
Yes, much.
I had a good night's sleep last night, man.
Yeah.
I slept in my own bed.
That makes a lot of difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right, we're going to read a little email and do this blind handyman thing, and I'll talk to you in a day or two, sir.
Okay, guys. Appreciate you calling.
See you later, Thomas.
Bye.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, that's it. Houston Vic sounds much better today.
Oh, yeah.
I was worried about him last week. I didn't want
if we had the recording from last year, the before and after.
Yeah, the before and after would be a whole lot different. All right, what you got?
We got a couple of emails and then another silly thing, kind of.
Okay, we like those
this
silly
one
things.
Right here says, hi, guys. Oh, well, I'm going to tell a story on myself. Let me read the email first, then I'll tell a story. It says, hi, guys. My mom has been complaining about the... not having an insulated garage door. It is one of those metal doors that is made up of a series of metal panels.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and Skip gives the measurements, which we're not interested in. But what he says is that he's going to insulate it. He's bought this insulation for garage doors, that one size fits all, but he's reasonably sure he's going to have to trim it and cut it. His question is, what the hell do I cut it with? Well, there were several people that said hacksaws and this and that, and some people have utility knives. But actually, I went online and I found, and there's two products that this guy needs.
Yep.
And one of them is called an insul knife, I-N-S-U-L space knife, K-N-I-F-E, and it is made for this purpose. It's got a little handle like a handsaw, but then it's sort of a... it's not a very long blade, but it's a kind of like a semicircle, a quarter of a circle, and I assume it's real sharp. I could not see a picture of it to see if it's serrated or not, because the other one I found, which is called a duckboard knife, like you use in air conditioning work, it is like a saber blade in that you use both sides of the blade cut. One side is a smooth edge, and the other side is a serrated edge. And this knife, most of them will cut pipe insulation, fiberglass insulation, foam board, and even like landscaping fabric that people put down in their flower beds and stuff. And one of them, the duckboard knife, sells for $19.50. And the insul knife, and you can do a Google search, I-N-S-U-L knife, it sells for $36. Now, somebody pointed him onto a heat knife. I can't think of the name of it, but that's kind of overkill for what you're doing. It costs like about $99.
Yeah.
And they're called like a hot wire or some kind of wire. And I wouldn't even... This knife will do all you need, and you need this in your toolbox.
Why does she want the garage door insulated?
Well, same reason I wanted my garage insulated. It makes a big difference in temperature-wise.
Yes, it
keeps you... And I'll guarantee you, if you could do it yourself, I admire your grit. It will save you a lot of money. The last garage door I had hung maybe a couple of years ago was not insulated, and it's about $500. I mean, it's the cheapest. It did have window, little glass windows in the top of it, not that opened.
But we
bought an insulated door for the other, and just a 12-foot, 7-foot tall door insulated cost $1,600. So,
whoa.
So I admire this guy's doing it.
Big difference there.
That's Don Shaw snuck
in. Yeah, snuck in here.
Well, good to have you. You're through with all your students down there at the university.
Oh, yeah. The crowd has left and everything's back to normal.
That's good
to know. I guess with all the students, when they're all there trying to leave at once, it's quite a traffic.
Oh, it is.
Down.
It is. Sure, it's rough.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go again.
All right, wait, hold it. The other day, I was putting Velcro on something, and I've got male and female Velcro. I bet you didn't know there was male and female Velcro. So I've got both. So I put a little piece on the arm of my chair, and I was going to put a piece on the back of my stream and hook it to the arm of my chair so when I got up and down, it wouldn't fall off.
Right.
Makes sense. What do you cut the Velcro with? Well, I tried scissors, and they just balled down. You know, I finally got a serrated kitchen knife and sawed through it.
You need to buy this duck knife.
I was thinking the same thing, the duckboard knife.
And it comes with a little sheath, and it's serrated on one edge and sharp, smooth on the other. Like I said, it's like a saber blade. Both sides will cut.
Well, that's what I need, son. Right. It's good information.
That might be an Abney special there.
Well, I told it now with the story I was going to tell on myself.
Right.
First time in history ever, I was going to post to the Blind Handyman list and reply to this guy's email. Well, I wrote it once, and I changed pages and came back, and the email was gone. So I retyped it from memory, and I was going to post it, and it said, "We need your password. You got to sign in. Why do we want this?" So I did my password, and I went back, and my email was gone again. And I said, "Okay, I'll just tell him about it on Blind Handyman." So my first post in history ever didn't happen.
Why'd you have to have a password?
When you log into the Blind Handyman, I don't have it set.
Because you check yours online.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I check mine online.
Okay.
And so anyway, all right, this guy says, "I want to install a mantle on a brick fireplace."
All right.
Hey, do it. Do you recommend the plastic or metal wall anchors? B, should the holes for the anchors be drilled into the actual bricks or in between the mortar? And I was particularly interested in this email because I'm faced with the same problem.
Well, you'd want the lead anchors, wouldn't you? You know what you use?
I want to do this out on the pavilion. I want to put up some shelves that will be similar to a mantel. Well, actually, the thing is that the metal is okay, but it's a lot of overkill. The plastic will hold up anything just about short of cabinets. If you were going to do cabinets, you should do the metal anchors or the lead. They're actually, some of them are made of lead.
That's what I was going to say. They're lead anchors. I got a drawer full of them in there.
Well,
are you drilling, the brick or the mortar?
Well, and you drill in, this guy says drill in the brick. When I put up something here not too long ago, I drilled into the brick. And his reasoning is if you ever decide to take it down, drilling the mortar is easier to patch because you just get some more mortar. To patch a brick, you've got to be fairly artistic or you're going to see
the brick. Well, but the mortar's not going to hold near as well as a brick would, is it?
Well, you're going to – my big concern was is when you drill in the mortar, if any size anchor at all, you're going to actually get in the top and the bottom of a brick, of the joining bricks, because a lot of mortars, a quarter of an inch or half inch.
You might as well just drill into the brick, and masonry bits are cheap.
Yeah, and it says if you use going into the plastic anchors, let's see, this guy had a good, you need to use a bigger bolt. Like if you were going to go into drywall, you use like the same size bolt recommended for the particular anchor, like a number 6 or a number 8 screw. In this case, you would want to go up to a number 8 or a number 10 screw. Same size anchor, but use a bigger bolt because it tightens it better. And it really doesn't even make any difference if the anchor cracks. Like especially the metal ones, a lot of times will come apart, but that just makes them all the more tighter. You just can't hardly, you couldn't hardly pull them out of the brick.
Well, no, because the hole wouldn't get any bigger, and what you're putting in it would be.
Right.
All right, so we solved that guy's problem.
Yeah, and like I say, again, you know, the principle of the screw when installed will expand the anchor, and that's what holds it in there.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
That's right.
So, good project for buying a set of masonry bits, my man.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm going to install 2 shelves out on the pavilion, which will be on a brick wall, and I want to make sure. But there's also some stuff they're advertising on an infomercial, and I can't think of the name of it simply because I wanted to mention it, for $19.95. You know, it's one of these deals, and it will glue anything to anything.
I've seen those.
And this guy is like pulling this 18-wheeler, 80,000 pounds with some of this stuff. So,
do you think it would glue on the brick?
He says he put it on the brick and stick up anything. Yeah.
I'd be darned. I'd like to see that.
All right. So here's the little silly stuff.
All right.
I think it was kind of, it's informative, I think. This guy says, I'm dying to know, how did WD-40 get its name? Also, the ball peen, P-E-E-N, hammer. Just have to know. Please advise. Well, and this guy says, according to the WD-40 company, the name WD-40 originated in 1953.
It was the 40th experiment they'd done.
When the product, that's right, was first developed, the company, originally known as the Rocket Chemical Company, was trying to design protection for metal parts on rockets to prevent rust and corrosion.
Yeah.
By displacing water, hence the WD for water displacement. And the 40 is the 40th experiment, and they finally got it right.
They finally got what they wanted.
And it sure has. Wouldn't you have liked to have been the guy that, you know, have a nickel a can for everyone?
Some stock in WD-40.
Well, at one time, it was the stuff to use. We know better now that it gums up things sometimes. I've used it on, you know, for 30 years and didn't know.
They sold lots of it and still do, I'm sure.
I used it on tape recorder relays and stuff, you know. And, you know, you just don't do that.
And the second part of the thing, he said, he wanted to know where the name, the ball peen, P-E-E-N.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people call it ball ping with a G, but it's not ping hammer came from. And he says, let's hammer that down. Says peen on a hammer is by definition the end of the hammer head opposite the striking surface.
Right.
In other words, so like on a claw hammer, it's the claw.
Yeah.
You want to take that phone call, do you?
I don't know. We could.
See what's happening.
Did it quit?
No.
Yes. Hello. Still,
are y'all on the air?
We're on the air.
We're
and so
on
are
the
you.
Air.
And so are you. Hi, Luann.
Hi, everybody.
Hi there.
Wanted to let me just ask you one quick question. Was the ocean cruise or the river cruise more expensive?
The river cruise.
Was more expensive?
Yes.
All right, Pat, I stand corrected.
No, you were the one saying the river
cruise. Oh, I said the river cruise is more expensive. I was right, wasn't
I? I didn't think
that. All right. Okay, we love you. Is that all you had?
Thomas is going to come by and look at that computer. Goodbye.
Come by and look at what computer?
Your computer in your house.
What's wrong with him?
Nothing. He needs a number off of it.
Well, the house is closed and locked, and we're on the radio.
How long are you going to be on the radio?
We'll be off at 4 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. I'd like to be, I guess not. Anyway.
All right, so the peen, thus you don't say a claw peen hammer, but you do say a ball peen hammer.
That's right.
And they're used for metal working. Guys with sheet metal that can do some nifty stuff.
That can take dents out of things with a peen on that, with rounded part on a ball peen hammer. My daddy could do it.
Like some of these auto guys that have been posting to the list here lately.
I think that's kind of a dying...
Working with sheet metal.
Yeah, I think that's a dying art. You know, anymore you take a car in and... Well, they just replace the parts.
Yeah.
New fender.
Emily's son-in-law backed... He had a trailer, a little short trailer on the back of his truck. I think he forgot about it. Might have had a bruise or two out at the deer lease. Don't know. But anyway, he just demolished his brand new Nissan Titan, the right back.
Wow.
And so the body shop, my God, he's got good insurance. Go out there, gets a rent car for free, And this guy just orders all new. I mean, there's no pounding and banging and repainting.
They don't do that anymore?
No, hardly. And,
really?
And it looks brand new. Just looks like a new truck, you know, so.
Well, I guess we could.
That's about it for this year.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Well, we're not quite. We have 40 minutes to go.
Yeah. No, I meant for the email.
Oh, for the email. What is this lady's name, Donald?
Our guest today we talked to way back in 2003, believe it or not. And her name is Mary Beth. And we talked about she raises iguanas, some kind of lizard, something, I don't remember, and they were building some shelves for them at that time, and now, today, she wants to talk with us about some house remodeling that they've been doing.
Well, let's Skype her up here in just a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little short break. Don Patterson, Don Sharp, both there, and Phil Parr, and this show is called The Blind Handyman. Hang on, be right back. It's a shame to interrupt that lovely music. Let's see if this will work. There we go. There's the Skype noise. History. The mystery of history. Mary Beth is her name?
Yeah, it sure is.
All right. Well, she should be there. Skyping her right up. The old Skype ring. Ring 5. They come quick, don't they, huh?
They really do.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride. And she knows we're calling.
Yeah,
huh?
She knows we're calling. We do have a landline number, though, for if we need it.
Hello? Hello?
Hi there.
Hello? Did she not answer?
I think she didn't answer.
She didn't answer.
I didn't hear.
All right, let's try one more time. to her one more time here, and then we'll...
Nothing like on-air Skype.
Oh, that's good. This is the experimental mode of the Blind Handyman.
This is the experimental Blind Handyman mode. Well, Don?
Hello.
Mary Beth.
Yeah.
How are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Well, that's right. Good. It's Phil Parr and Don Shaw and Don Pat. We're the Blind Handyman guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're on the air right now, so don't say anything.
Well, it's good to see you guys. Hear you guys again.
Don't say anything bad, because we're here on the radio already.
Oh well, I thought I would just say something bad anyway.
Oh, so we don't mind if that's what you want to do. We don't care. What? Where are you? Where are you calling? Where are we talking to you from?
From California, Fresno at the moment.
Fresno,
from the downtown spot of my living room.
In Fresno, California.
Very good.
That's right.
Well, you know, with Skype, it sounds like you're right here. It sounds like you're in the room with us.
That's awesome.
It is. Skype is just awesome. I love it. And Don said we had you on a long time ago, and you raise iguanas. Is that right?
No, we don't raise iguanas. We've had two iguanas as pets. We only have one of them now, unfortunately. We've had our year of losing animals.
what caused that, do you think?
Well, our male iguana that we had originally, that we first talked to you guys about, developed some health issues that even our vet never really could diagnose. And he just finally got to the point where he was not eating and all kinds of good stuff. So it was a very bad thing. So we had to finally decide to euthanize him in the summertime. And, with iguanas, there's all kinds of stuff that can happen. And he had not had the best of care before he had been rescued from lady that we got him from. So.
Well, but euthanizing pets is always a very painful thing if you become attached to them. And,
yes, you do.
Yes, and even iguanas.
I'm amazed that you were able to find a vet that, you know, it's hard. That's kind of a specialty to snakes and, you know, reptiles and amphibians.
Yeah, that's true. There are vets, though, that specialize in exotic animals, and we actually have three vets in our area at the moment.
Wow.
Really?
Do that.
What is your level of vision? Do you have any sight at all?
I have partial vision myself.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, my vision's about 2300, and that's actually better than what I had, because I have had a cornea transplant a little over a year ago.
Really? And it worked?
Yes.
Very good.
All right.
That's one.
Yeah.
So you can see better now than you could first time we talked to you.
Absolutely. I had about 2400-2500 vision, and it was gradually getting worse by that point.
Uh-huh.
So by the time I had my cornea transplant, I was around 2600.
Yeah.
And so now without glasses at all, I'm 2300. So.
Well, you said,
and it'll still be a while before I get to have glasses again, because I still have stitches in there. So
you keep saying we. I assume that we means a husband.
Yeah.
Or a partner,
true.
Or somebody. What is your husband?
Yeah, definitely married. Tom is at work.
Does Tom see? Can Tom see?
No. Tom's totally blind.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well.
And everything he's learned, he either learned from his dad or
you.
A friend of ours who's also blind, totally blind.
Mary, being curious, are you originally from Canada?
No, I'm not.
You have a very distinct speech pattern, that reminds me of Canadians.
I'll be darned. Well, you know, I suppose it's because I have so many friends that are from Canada.
Okay.
That sort of adopted the speech, I guess.
Uh-huh.
What could have you say about, and we'd know, wouldn't we? That's the word that everybody that they always say. You know, remember Peter Jennings always said about.
Yeah.
All right. What and you've been doing, from what I hear, y'all have been doing some home remodeling
of sorts. This is very true. Yeah.
Are you doing it yourself, or are you having it done?
Well, we originally thought we would do it ourselves, and we thought, well, let's go check all this out and all that kind of thing, and then finally decided this is way too much work for me. I don't have hand coordination enough to help Tom with these sort of projects anymore.
Yeah.
And so we ended up getting somebody to do these projects.
How far along, how far did you get before you decided that?
Well, we got to in the store and looking at what it took to do the project when we decided we're going to hire somebody to do this.
Yeah.
It's either hire somebody or divorce court, right?
Right. That's about right.
So you only got to the store before you chickened out, as they say in the biz.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All right. What did you want to do remodeling? What?
Well, we were going to take out the carpet and put down all new flooring.
Yeah.
It was the one project. And then the other project was replacing the windows.
The flooring I could see. Replacing windows would be a pretty nervy project for anybody that wasn't a professional, and even for professionals. But the floor you could have easily done. What did you put? You wanted hardwood instead of carpet?
Yeah, we put down laminate, actually.
Yeah.
And we chose the hardwood look. And my husband could have actually probably gotten a couple of fellows to come and help him with that. But between work and everything else, it would have taken us forever.
Oh, yeah, it would have taken a lot of time.
Yeah,
and you'd have to, you need to do the concrete to have it completely clean and treated.
At
a certain temperature, if you don't put it down with it at a certain temperature, supposedly it will bow up or it will come. This is tongue and groove laminate you're talking about.
Certainly with some of them, yeah. Fortunately, this was a type of flooring that didn't require having to set and settle and all that kind of good stuff. So, if we'd have, had more time to where we could have just dealt with it, it would have probably been a great project for us. But now that Tom's working a lot more hours and stuff that he is, he was like, no, it would have taken us a century. And they took the job and did it in 5 days.
And your house was, then it was, you could clean up and put your house back in order.
Exactly, pretty much.
Yeah.
We actually didn't have to pack everything back up, but we did have to pack the house somewhat up. So.
Yeah.
And I, being the smart woman that I was, I had retired my guide dog, not realizing that we were going to get all this done just when we did. And I ran away off to guide dog school while the construction and was all being done here in the house.
That was a great move.
Yeah, good idea.
Move.
Yeah, really.
Good. Mary Beth, sharp lady.
That
guide dog school while they really had it torn up. So Tom was...
Poor Tom.
He really was quite the... Oh, my goodness. He was in dire straits of having me come home.
Yeah. Now, the window replacement, why did you want to do that, or what was your impetus for doing that?
The main reason is we live over the flight path of the Air National Guard and regular airplanes here in our area. And so, and the National Guard is rather frequent in their takeoff and return. Simply because our unit here is the group that is in charge of the West Coast protection for our coast and all that stuff. So.
Oh, I thought the National Guards were all in Iraq.
Yeah, you would think, but we actually have a unit that's still here at home, amazingly enough.
Yeah.
And so,
this was for noise purposes.
Yeah, noise purposes more than anything else. And to also help keep the cold out and the warm in during those respective seasons.
Were these windows, I guess double pane for insulation purpose, like heat and cool. But did someone mention that they would also help in noise abatement, or did y'all just decide that on your own?
And did it help the noise?
And did it?
Actually, we found out about the whole thing with the noise because here in Fresno, they have a program to help homes and homeowners to put in windows to help with the noise abatement around the airport. And technically, we live in a condo, and our complex actually comes under the program, but we're like last in the process. And I didn't feel like waiting 20 years. Tom didn't feel like waiting 20 or 30 years either. So based on the information we had received from the city and all that, we knew that that would help.
Uh-huh.
And we'd been to other people's houses though and seen how well it worked, and so when we did this it helped considerably. I mean, we can actually talk on the phone without it killing conversation.
Oh, is that bad?
And, yeah, it was. It was that bad.
Wow,
man.
Yeah.
Well, we
because they're still, you know, low enough at our place that you know, it's like, okay, guys, pull it up.
Yeah,
let's not knock off the roof.
We have the double pane windows that were installed, you know, in our house. It's just a matter of fact. I mean, they came with the package, and I can. You know, they make quite a bit of difference in noise. We don't have a lot of airplane noise, but when you're in the house, you're pretty much oblivious to a lot, anything going on outside.
You don't hear stuff outside, do you?
The noise is
happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
I live
in.
Go ahead.
It really helped also the cooling and the heating as well. Well, of course, we just had that done less than a couple of weeks ago. But we're already into the season for us where we're starting to have temperatures down around 30 at night, and which for us is typical on and off throughout the winter. And we hardly even notice the difference now.
How far are y'all from San Francisco in which direction?
We are, I consider ourselves south of San Francisco, southeast more or less.
Are y'all
kind
of in the wine country?
We're in the middle of the state, technically.
Are y'all in the wine country, or is that?
No. We're about a good 3-hour drive from San Francisco.
Okay.
We're like right in between San Francisco and L.A.
And it gets that cold in where you are.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Are y'all in the mountains?
We're actually in a desert, technically.
Okay.
Oh, really?
In between a whole bunch of mountains.
Yeah.
And so the cold can definitely get trapped in here. Normal temperatures for us aren't usually that cold, but we do get winters where we drop into the 30s, low 30s, and we're going to have another one of those, I see, because we've already had two spells like this.
Yeah.
But only we're in like the upper 30s or low 40s at night, so that would be normal for us.
And these windows are going to probably help that. Probably.
Oh yeah.
Reduce.
Well, we've already noticed the heat's not running as much.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We have that to talk about toward the end of the show. Also, did we talk
about
that last week?
Yeah, we touched on that last week.
Putting turbines on top of your house.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't let us do that here, but
are y'all electric heat or gas heat?
Gas.
Gas. Okay.
And you're on the top floor, or you have floors above you and below you?
Nothing. We're a single level unit. And
oh, really?
We just have one unit attached to us, a neighbor of ours over there, and so.
Wow, like they're like little duplex.
Yeah, it's like a little duplex.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many units are in the whole thing? I mean, how many?
116.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Kind of like a little.
We have 2, 3, and 4-bedroom units. The 3 and 4 bedrooms are actually townhouses.
Right.
But the 2 bedrooms are single-level units.
Kind of a nice little neighborhood. How far are y'all from, how are you located as far as Fresno? Are you downtown, do you see?
We're in central Fresno, so we're like by where Fresno State is.
Yeah, okay. Good transportation.
Yeah, good.
Very good
friendly location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
We have 3 bus routes alone right there.
Really?
Yeah. And then we have one of the bus routes that goes into our neighboring city, Clovis. And
Clovis, what?
California.
Clovis, California.
I never heard of Clovis, California. If Clovis,
it's
Mexico,
not a very big place.
Boy, it wouldn't be.
I bet it isn't.
It's still very much a little cow town.
I guess.
But it's a wonderful little place.
What does Tom do for a living? Where does he work? He's working more hours. Where does he work?
He's an access technology instructor, and he works for the Valley Center for the Blind here in Fresno. And he also does some work with the school district. And so he teaches people how to use computers and how to use their screen access programs and all that kind of good stuff.
Now, of course, these schools have to have that. They have to have an access technology person, according to the government these days.
Right.
But Tom actually has some students. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Because a lot of those guys don't. We know an access technology guy.
Yeah,
who doesn't have any students.
Kind of slow there.
It's a little slow there in the summer. Our boy Don Shaw is an access technology at Angelina College here.
Same kind of deal. So.
Yeah, now see, here in our area, we have a lot of summer camps kids and that kind of stuff. So that gives some supplementary stuff during the summer months. And then, of course, most of the people that Tom works with at our Center for the Blind are usually in the 50 or older age group.
Yeah.
And so you can pretty much have them all year round.
Yeah.
And this is actually more of the slow time. Christmas and January will be another slow one. But the school-age kids will supplement that just because even though they'll have time off, they usually need something during this time of year.
And a lot of those old folks just don't want to learn computers. We just, you know, that's not...
Well, you know, it all depends. You know, I've seen a guy in his 90s, you know, get all excited about learning how to use a computer, so... I think it just sort of depends on the person.
Well, they're not going to go away. They're here to stay.
Oh, yeah.
They're part of your life, my life, part of everybody's life, whether you like it or not. Your life is in many ways influenced by computers. And for blind people, they're the greatest thing since plastic eyes, since guide dogs.
Oh, I know. Very true.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think
I have one of the above, all the above there. So.
Well, I don't have a guide dog, but I have plastic eyes and a computer, you know.
I think one thing, a friend of mine here just the other day was talking about, she said she had finally gotten her mother, who is like 80, 79 or 80, comfortable with email. On the computer, and then now she's like a whiz. She's a fiend about it. You know, she loves her computer. But the big question always comes up, what is the big inhibitor is that people are afraid they're going to do something and screw something up.
Yep.
And if you can ever get them past that point, my wife is a perfect example. For the longest, it was like every 5 minutes. If I was there, I would have to go help. You know, could you come and do... Now, man, she goes, she is a button pusher. She is not afraid. And it's mastered the, I mean, she loves it, and she very seldom ever calls me.
Well, your computer went out last summer or so, and she said, we just can't be without a computer.
That's right. Went and bought another one.
Gotta have another.
Went and bought one. And I can remember when Emily wouldn't touch one.
Yeah. So get them past the, I'm gonna screw something up thing, and then everything's fine, I think.
Yeah, I read about that, actually. Yeah, that is probably one of the biggest inhibitors.
I was
feeling like there's so much to learn.
There is a lot to learn, but you don't have to learn it all in one day.
Yeah, and you don't have to learn it all in one day.
Yeah, once I discovered the menu bar and that there was always a close place that said close on the menu bar, I wasn't afraid of anything.
Yeah.
And once I realized I could get out of anything.
Yeah, close or cancel will get you out of about anything. So.
Yeah, you'd think escape would, but in Microsoft and its infinite wisdom, escape doesn't, you know.
That's kind of an old command that's kind of going by the down the tubes, I think. It just doesn't work in a lot of situations.
It all depends on what you're using. I have to use it. I use escape for a lot of different things still. So.
Yeah, sometimes it works.
I got this laptop that I took Houston. We have a friend that's been in the hospital, and I took him a laptop, and the laptop had JAWS on it. I wanted to it's a laptop I don't use anymore, and I wanted to make sure it worked. So I fired it up, and I went somewhere, and then I couldn't remember. It had Windows 2000 and an old version of JAWS. I couldn't remember, what is the old command, insert something to get back to the desktop? I couldn't figure out how to do it. Now it's, control M, desktop. What does the desktop?
This may be the problem.
Well, insert F4.
Windows M will get you back to the desktop.
It's Windows M that'll get you back to desktop.
Yeah. But you left Windows M, too.
But it used to be insert F4, right?
Yeah, it used to be, and I think you can still do that even. I don't use that
will
one
that
very
still
often.
Work?
Because...
Anyway,
you know, it's one of those sort of things. You know, I'm just, you know, I'd have to totally go through and do a refresher course if I went back from XP to like 2000 or something.
Well, this was back in 2000, and this had an old version of JAWS, and the Windows key M wouldn't do the desktop, and I couldn't figure out how to. I was lost.
Well, Windows D will also take you back to the desktop too.
Oh, will it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Well, yeah. I should have called you.
Yeah.
But don't think you learn, but you have a computer person around the house.
Yeah. Well, you don't sound like you have any inhibitions or any problems we could help you with, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, it's right now my big thing is Tom has gotten into wanting air tools.
Oh, good.
And he bought an air compressor this summer. The reason he bought it being our condenser line got plugged up because it hadn't been cleaned properly. And we didn't want to pay for some guy to come charge us $150 and then some to...
So he bought an air compressor to blow out his...
Fine. So he went and bought an air compressor so we could clean out that thing and worked like an absolute gem. But now he wants to learn how to use other pneumatic tools. And so he's all excited about that.
Well, tell him about the Blind Handyman list, because they talk about air tools and all kind of things there. So he can ask questions.
Yeah, get him on the list. And he can, we've all three got air compressors and air tools and use them all the time. I don't want to do that little... Well, if you want to nail something, a little nail gun is the handiest thing in the world, and there's nothing like an air compressor.
Well, I mean...
Well, he's getting something for Christmas. I haven't figured out what.
let me recommend a thing called a Brad gun. He'll love it, trust me. $150 A Brad, it's called a Brad gun. And it'll shoot about what, inch and a half nail? No?
Yeah, something like that.
And I guarantee you he'll love you. He'll love you.
Does he do any kind of woodworking or projects? I mean,
yeah, he does. He does woodworking. As a matter of fact, because we did the floor project,
right?
We have a lizard cage that used to have bricks underneath it.
Yeah.
Well, the bricks can no longer be under the cage.
Yep.
And so he has decided that we're going to put this... He knows what it's going to look like.
Okay.
Basically, he's going to put caster wheels.
Right. Okay.
That's good.
Under
there.
And
well, he'll
now
need a
matter
power...
of building this little project. So
he'll need a power screwdriver for that.
Yeah. Those are battery powered. Do y'all have this, a garage that goes with your condo? Is that where his little shop
is? We have a
be?
Backyard.
Okay.
With a covered area. But
all
we don't
have
a garage.
Good work area.
Well, tell him to get on the handyman list and he can ask all the questions he wants to about, because we got people that know all there is to know about pneumatic tools. We all love them.
Yeah. You know, we've both been on the list and have the last couple of years had to.
Yeah.
Cut back on a couple of lists, but I've been feeling the urge to come back to the list.
We need you. We need you. Tell Tom hello, and we'd like to have you as a guest on the show sometime.
You
take
betcha.
Take off a day's work and come and play with the Blind Handyman guys. It's always fun. Thank you much, and we'll talk to you in a day or two.
And we'll
right,
enjoy
you
it.
Good talking with you.
You have a good holidays.
Right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mary Beth from, where'd she say, Fresno?
Fresno.
Callis.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a little break, and surely we come up with something.
I got a little thing I can talk about here.
All right. Well, we'll listen to Christmas music for a minute. All right. Hang on. Oh, another one started there. Scared me to death.
Yeah.
Headphones on. What the hell happened? Listen. Anyway, that's a little jazz, light jazz there from Dish Network.
Light
and
jazz.
It is light jazz. Well, it's almost the holidays. We're almost into And in fact, it is the holidays. We're almost into Christmas. We're gonna take a couple, 3 weeks, maybe a month off.
Yeah.
And this will be our final show for the year 2007. Who'd have thought it?
Who would have ever thought?
I don't think we said this is 2017.
This is 2:18 today.
2:18 today, and it is the I forgot to do all that. It is the 12th of December.
That's
and this
right.
Is 2:8 sharp number 2:18.
2:18.
Recording the Little Ranch House recording studio in Southwood Drive. What do you have? Tom?
Almost made the 2:20 mark this
Almost.
Year. Just knocking on the door of 2:20. Huh? What a deal!
What a deal! Go ahead.
Anyway, what I've got today is. You know, one of the things about being blind, one of the problems is, and we've discussed this many times, a lot of times the problem is with being a blind person is you just don't know about a product unless someone tells you about
That's
something.
True. Very true.
And that is a big rub in a lot of situations where, of course, the sighted person can walk in Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere and just walk down the aisles and be looking at whatever they're looking for and see a lot of other things that they're not looking for at the same time. So they get some ideas about some new products that are on the shelf.
But we don't.
We miss all that. And I ran across a deal here, I don't know, a month or so ago that a guy had told me about. It's solar security light.
Okay.
And there again, it's one of these things that, you know, I probably wouldn't have ever known about unless someone would have told me about this thing. And we had been kicking around for a while putting a light underneath the carport.
You're not the only one. We've talked about that for years. I don't know why I never did it.
And the thing about that is that could have been done with wiring, but it would have taken like running a wire from the inside of the house out through the attic into the carport, which could have been done. I'm not saying it's not doable, but, you know, that would have been a pretty good project.
Yeah.
But I found out about a solar security light that is made, like, to put under your carport or on the side of a building or house. And it's battery-powered, uses a solar cell to charge its battery during the daytime, and it's got a sensor on it that can detect movement. So if a person or a vehicle drives up your driveway or something, you know, the motion detector will detect the movement and turn on the security light, which is exactly what we needed for underneath the carport.
But you put the solar sensor out on the side of the house somewhere.
That's right. You put the solar sensor, it's hanging down, in other words, underneath the front of the carport. Actually, it's out in front of the carport and up probably, I don't know, 3 foot on the gable.
Good buddy, it'd get a lot of sun.
And
right
that's
there.
Where it'll get a lot of sun. And then the sensor, the sensor that detects movement is actually down under the edge of the carport. So it can detect like a vehicle or a person coming up the driveway.
Yeah.
And it's got a real wide range on it. And on the other end of the carport, like when you open the storm door to walk out into the carport
it'll
also detect that and come on.
Really?
So.
Can this light be set to not just be a motion? Can it just be a dusk till dawn?
No.
Okay, it's strictly motion.
It's just strictly motion. Now, it can be set to stay on different durations of time.
I got you.
Anywhere.
Can you just turn it on and leave it on? Like if you were having a cooking out there. I used to cook under that carport, and you know.
You know, I don't know. It's got a test mode on it, and, yeah, when you switch the switch to test mode, it will come on.
Yeah.
But I have no idea how long the battery would run the light.
But you'd have to reach up there and – the solar thing should charge it. I mean, it should run you'd have to reach up there and do it.
You'd have to reach up there and do it, which that's not that hard to do if you got something to stand on, but it's just – I don't know how long the light will run, and it didn't really say that in the book. You know, on a full charge. So I don't know. That's a good question. But you can set the light to stay on anywhere from a minute, I think, to, I don't know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes at a time.
So when you come out the door in the morning, if it was dark, this light would kick on.
That's right. If
That's
it's dark,
cool.
It'll kick on.
I bought a little thing.
That's pretty cool.
I looked at those. motion, but I didn't necessarily want it a motion thing because I have so dang many animals, you know, that, I mean, they're setting it off.
That's the, no, they won't. You know, I thought about that too because we have a cat that inside, outside, but he happens to sleep under the carport a lot.
Uh-huh.
On a workbench I have under there, and he can walk around there all night, and it won't set off the detector, which is pretty cool.
Well, then that's not what you want it for. If he won't set it off, then what's the burglar
doing? He's below the radar.
I guess unless it was a little kid or a little person.
He's below the radar there.
But anyway, I bought one.
If you get a group of midget burglars, you're screwed.
Yeah, if you walk under there now, or a person, it'll go off in a second.
I bought a dusk to dawn little light that plugs into a wall plug.
Yeah.
And you know, when I did the pavilion out there, I put wall plugs, not in the walls, but up in the ceiling, because I will have shelves for like the TV, and it's easier to go up than, you know, down. And there were in the wood ceiling as opposed to being in the brick.
Yeah.
And so I bought a little light that plugs in, and it's just perfect for the pavilion. Like it's very small, but it's enough light that you could walk out using it from the house. You can navigate out to the pavilion, you know. And so, I mean, we're talking $8, you know.
Yeah.
So does this light, Donald, does it light up the carport pretty good?
Yeah, it's not bad. Now, it's more expensive because we looked at the wired lights.
Yeah.
We thought about going that route and said, nah, to hell with it, because it would have been a pretty good. I mean, I'm not, you know, it could have been done, but it would have been a pretty good project.
Well, you'd have to drop it down there and figure out a way to put a switch on it. And I thought about this a lot. I lived there a long time.
Oh, I know. This solar light, anyway, was about twice the price of a wired, same wired, security light.
So you're talking about what? How much?
$80 or so versus around $40 for the wired version.
Does it have a fluorescent bulb or a mercury vapor or what?
No, it's got it's not a mercury vapor. I don't know what it is.
Are they LCDs?
I don't think it's LCD either. The light plugs in. It's got two little prongs on it.
It's a little fluorescent.
It's a little fluorescent. Yeah. I don't know.
Are they long and slender? Is there two of them side by side?
No, it really looks like a camera bulb, kind of.
Really?
About that size. So I'm not really sure what kind of bulb
it is. Just twists in. It doesn't screw
in. It just plugs in. It's got two little pointed prongs that just plug in a little socket.
Very interesting.
I wonder what
the replacement for that puppy
is. I don't know. Now, that may be the catch right there.
$89.
Yeah. The replacement might be.
Light in the carport at Norris Street. That's good. I thought about that. I had a gas grill out there at one time. We've had many little group gatherings.
It's kind of cool because you can swivel the light different directions. You can swivel motion detector.
Yeah.
And then it's got about 8 foot of wire on it, I guess, so you have plenty of room to put the solar cell away from the light.
Yeah. Well, up on the front of the carport, it'll catch that afternoon sun.
Oh, yeah.
Son.
All the afternoon sun.
Ooh, does that come in on that carport or what? Not today, it's cloudy can be, but normally, boy, the sun comes busting in that front window right there where you got your computer.
Oh, yeah. It'll do good. It's done good there. So. But it's just, you know, it's the same thing. It's just one of these little products that you might not have known about unless someone tells you.
Yeah,
so.
Being blind, you'd have no way to, you wouldn't even go to the lighting section at Lowe's or Home Depot or any of those.
If anyone's looking for such a thing. Might want to check out a solar-powered security light.
And you got it on where?
Got it at Lowe's.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact.
I do not understand how both those stores are staying open.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Nobody at either one of them. They're about half full.
But they seem to be hanging in there with us.
We have a Lowe's and a Home Depot in our town.
Well, and I'm worried. I don't see how Tractor Supply is staying in business.
Oh, well, them farmers are going to buy them tractors, you know.
It's really not a... No, it's they don't sell tractors. It's just that's their name. They sell...
What do they sell? Motorcycles?
Oh, no, they sell little off-road vehicles, but not very many. Just chains, or you wanted a trailer hitch, or you want a winch for your, you know...
Well, it's like when I first moved up here, We just taken over the radio station, was working and trying to go out with a salesman. We went out to see. We went to some. There was a paint store, independently owned paint store, and we went in. We talked to this guy that owned the paint store, and we shot the breeze. Reports in, but yeah, I listen to KSPL. I like your radio station. You don't sound good. And as soon as my wife gets through canning pears, we'll buy some advertising with you. You know, that's the mentality of folks here in East Texas. As soon as we get through a cannon, well, because she'll be down here to help, and we'll buy some advertising. So
what a strange deal.
It's just East Texas, and I love it. Wouldn't live anywhere else, maybe, I think. Anyway, guys, that's it for 2007.
That's all? Man.
We've done it. 2007, show number 218.
218.
Today, we forgot to start with that.
Yeah.
Mr. Pat?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Have a good holiday.
I shall.
We'll see you at the nursing home next Saturday, next Thursday. No, it's not nursing home. It's Godtail, isn't it?
Yes, that's
They're
correct.
Playing.
Somewhere.
You better see me before then. So
somewhere.
I'll see you before then.
Go over there. And I need the keys to those Christmas carols for Joe Biden.
I'll take care of it for you. Trust me. Tomorrow's work on the Christmas song list, Dave. Anyone of you like to call and help me?
Right.
Love to have you. Anyway, thanks, Don Shaw.
Yep.
We'll see you next year the 8th of, or let's see, I believe it's the 8th of January. There was a song about that, wasn't there?
Sounds like a plan.
Tell that I'm Phil Parsons. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.